friends, and welcome to Hashtag Music Ed Love. I'm your hostess, Angela Ammerman, and I'm so excited to welcome composer, conductor, performer, author, and music educator, and a dear friend of mine, Adrian Gordon, onto the show. Welcome, Adrian.
Hey, what's up, Angela? Good to be here.
It's so great to have you here. Adrian and I were conducting two Allstates together. This like never happens. But we both were the Allstate conductors for two back-to-back events. And then we also had a conference together. And so it's been really cool. And we had a chance to really get to know each other. And I love so much about what Adrian does for music education and how he works with students and teachers. And Adrian, you're just such a light in our field. So thank you. Before we jump in, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What is your life like right now? I know you've been super busy. Tell us all of it.
Well, like you said, I'm Adrian and I'm here in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I'm originally from Miami, Florida. And I just moved out here to Charlotte, North Carolina about a year ago, actually this week. And I moved out here to be the director of orchestras at Providence Day School. So I do that as well, on top of all the multitude of things that I'm doing, which is crazy. But yeah, so I'm teaching full time. I'm also conducting, like you said, regional and all state groups. And I'm composing. And I just finished my book that came out in the fall. And I've been pushing that and hopefully being a resource and, you know, aid to teachers out there who are transitioning into their new positions. So it's been really, really busy, but all positive, all real fun, positive things that have been happening going on. So I'm really excited for what happened this year, and I'm really excited for what's going on for next year.
And I've loved following all the work that you do. And your book, Note to Self, I got to read the book before it even came out. So that was really cool. I was so honored to get to do that. And this is so relevant right now for our teachers. I mean, it is all year long, but especially as teachers get ready to step into a new position. So I'm excited. I know we're going to touch base on that soon. But one of the things I wanted to ask before we jump into that is, you are so productive between compositions and guest conducting and writing your book and a full-time job and being a dad and a husband. Like, how are you doing it? What is your life like balancing all of it?
Well, you know, the funny thing is it seems like it all happens at one time, but this has been years and years in the making. So it's not like I dropped everything and put it all out there in the span of 1 year. It's really been year after year after year that I've been building and composing. And I started the book back in 2019. And that was just a matter of being disciplined and diligent to every day sit down and write. So, you know, it seems like it all just happened all at once. But really, it's like I said, it's been taking a couple of years for all these things to come together. On top of the full-time job and being a dad. But I think the big thing that I do is have my to-do list. That to-do list in my calendar is so helpful because that keeps me on track and I'll just set up reminders. And if I don't see it on my calendar, it's highly likely it's not going to happen. So, you know, I'll set up reminders and not just one, I'll set up two, three reminders. Hey, you're supposed to be doing this at this exact time. And as long as I have that, I'm fine. I'll get it done. And then I just put everything in the calendar as well. So I know exactly what day things are happening. And it's not a perfect system, but I try my best to keep it all organized and professional. So that's the secret.
Well, okay. So wait, you have at least 10 compositions. Like, I know you are doing at least, how many are you up to now? What do you have a number?
It's probably 30 something.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, you are crazy productive, even if it is like years in the making. It's been so cool to see all of the stuff that you're coming out with. And I mean, I can't keep up in the best way. Like, this is the coolest thing to see all of the amazing work that you're doing. And so when you set up your to-do list and your calendar, do you have like a certain day for composing versus writing versus preparing clinics, you know?
Well, the first thing I do, you can't see it, but in my office, I have a goal or a strategy board. So every time I walk into my office, I see exactly what needs to be happening. And then from there, I'll take those goals and I'll put in dates, you know, and whatever takes priority because of the date, the deadline's coming up, that's what I'll work on first. If it's a long-term goal, then I'll say, okay, maybe two, three times a week, I'm going to sit and work on this, and I'll be diligent. I'll put 1 hour in, you know, I just do it like that. But there's really, I'm not crazy, crazy disciplined, but I try my best to make the time, put things down and get things done. But that's basically how I do it.
That's awesome. I think that's actually really helpful because I always look at people like you and I'm like, how do you do it? And so it's so nice to hear the specific details of visually even what you're doing to keep yourself.
I was saying it's drive to, you know, I love it. So if you don't love it, it's going to be really hard to sustain that. But I really, really love what I'm doing. I love music. I love watching the light bulbs go off in kids' minds. I love composing. I love, you know, helping youth orchestras and different programs around the country. I love it. So to me, it doesn't feel like work. It feels exciting. And I'm always excited to see how the end result will come out. So that's another component of it too.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, because I feel like when our passion is present, nothing can stop you. You just, you know, I mean, and every one of us has kind of our own way of doing things. But like for me, I'm always learning about ways to improve the way I do it by listening to people like you and your method so that I can take pieces of those. And I already am taking notes, Adrian. So I will be modifying my own prioritizing model and my strategy board.
Strategy board is great. That's really, really good.
I need that. I don't have that in my office. So I'm gonna add that. That's really cool. Well, the topic of your book is something that I wanted to come back to because it is so perfect right now. And so many of our teachers are transitioning to new positions over the summer. So, you know, as someone who has done it, and I know, like, gosh, it's been so cool to hear about your new position and where you are and how supported you are. I know you'll probably say this, but to our listeners, what a difference a new place can make. And if you can touch on that and also like what pieces of advice you might have for some of our listeners who are getting ready to step into a new position. And there's all of that hope, but also a lot of concern and unknowing.
But the first thing I would say is if you're stepping into that new role right now, especially in the summer, it's the perfect time to get with your own personal fitness and health regimen. Because if you have it in place from now, it's going to be harder to break it once the school year starts. So if you can do that now, set that now, once you get going, once you get into the thick of the school year, it's harder to break that because you've developed the habit. And I think it takes, 20 something days, you know, to create a habit. So if you can create that habit from now where you're going to be committed to getting the exercise that you need and eating right, like I said, it's going to be harder to break that once the craziness of the school year starts. Then I would say, and a friend of mine, he was talking to me about his experience in a new place. And he said, you know, something you said to me was really, really profound. And I didn't think it was that profound, but he did. So I'll share it with everybody. I said to him, you know, wherever you go, yes, you do have to prove yourself at your new position, but the place that you are at, the school that you're at also has something to prove to you. And don't forget that. You are valuable. We are valuable as educators. Our jobs are very necessary and very important. And the school that you're in, they need to prove their worth to you as well. And if they can't see your value, they can't see your time and talent, then you know it's time to move on. But of course, you know, give everything the old college try. But that's a mentality you should walk into your new position with as well. Yes, you do need to put your best foot forward, but remember, it's not all one-sided. They have something to prove to you as well. But then in terms of what it's like being in a new environment, it's been great. Like I said, I'm at Providence Day School here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they're very supportive, very diverse, which I really appreciate. And yeah, it's nice to be somewhere where you're respected and appreciated, and it can make a difference in your outlook. Sometimes we get tired and burnt out from doing the same thing year after year. So for me, this is I'm going into year 19 of teaching. So it's been great to have that transition. And I've had many transitions within different schools, but sometimes the change in environment is also very positive and like refreshing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that change is just something that can make or break your entire year. I mean, it just can. Even with the best of outlooks, it's challenging if you're in a difficult situation. So it's been exciting to hear about your current job. And so many of my students at George Mason are stepping into their first positions as well. So I've been recommending your book to them. So great. Yeah, as they're getting ready to take that first step into a new job. And that piece about being valued is so, so key. One of my students took an interview for a job and he was like, I just didn't feel like they cared about me at all. And I was like, run away. Like, they should be genuinely interested in you as a person, not just the answers you're giving them in this interview. So your book was really helpful. I mean, it was awesome, period. But it was so helpful for me in that moment to be like, there are other opportunities for you. Continue to look and hold out for something better.
Yeah. And in the education world, there's few teachers that have the same opportunity that we have to affect students for such a long period of time. We have such an impact because we see them day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, sometimes, you know, in my situation, I'm in a K-12 school. So I'm my own feeder. So I'm seeing my students from fifth grade all the way through 12th grade. So what an impact, what an opportunity to have an impact. So if I don't feel valued, if I don't feel important and appreciated, then it's going to be hard for me to pass that along. And that's the idea. We all want to pass that along to our students, you know? So you need to put yourself in a position where you feel valued and respected. And yeah, like you said, there are other opportunities out there. Wherever you've applied is not the only game in town. And that's what I think sometimes administrators forget.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Well, I also wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit and touch base on your process as a composer, because this is really fascinating for me to see what you're doing as a composer and to hear your original works. So first, can you share a bit about like your very first composition? How did that go? What got you started writing and how did you go about getting it published? Because I would love to share kind of your journey with that as well.
Yeah, the journey has been kind of crazy and it's still ongoing. But I think I was doing two at the same time. I did it at the same time and I remember working in an airplane. I was on the way to, I think it was California. And the first one was a string trio called Serenade. I've never released it and I think I'm going to very soon. I've had students play it and they've enjoyed it, but I've never released it, but I think I will. The second piece that I wrote was called Reflections. It's a string orchestra piece. It's like a grade 3.5. And that one, I was very excited because I was able to show it to my teacher. My teacher was Robert Longfield. So I was able to show him and get his thoughts and see what he thought about the whole piece. So those were the two pieces that I wrote at, you know, the very beginning of my composition career. The third piece that I wrote was really, really kind of spicy. Because I was having a hard time in college. I was a music major, but I was on the traditional track. I was in the string orchestra, I was doing the lessons and all that. But I really wanted to explore music outside of just the traditional Western European realm, and they weren't having any of it. So I ended up, for my jury, writing a piece called Farewell to the Violin. And I wrote Farewell to the Violin to play at my jury, and then I quit. And I stopped playing the violin for a few years. And then I came back to playing the violin, I think maybe two or three years later. So that was a really important piece because it really kind of defined what I wanted to do and my desire to love the instrument, not in just one narrow and focused way, but broadly. Like, I wanted to explore R&B. I wanted to explore a little bit of jazz and just improvisation. And there's just so many things that I wanted to do, but I wasn't allowed to. So I ended up quitting and writing that piece. And those are the first three pieces that I wrote. Once I finished the second piece, it was Reflections. I started handing that piece out to students blind. So they didn't know it was me writing it. And at the same time, I was sending it out to publishing houses and getting no after no after no after no. And I thought to myself, well, what's the disconnect? Because I'm playing this with students and they're enjoying it. And then I'm sending it to publishing houses, but I'm getting all these rejection letters. And I said, you know, if I want to see a change, I'm going to have to be that change that I want to see. and not in a conceited way, but I thought my music was special. I'm just confident, you know, I love what I do, and I felt good about what I was writing. And I thought, it's special, like a leap year. So I said, why don't I just start my own publishing company called Leap Year Music? And I did. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to wait for permission to be creative. I'm not going to wait for permission to share my love of music with the world. And I felt that Leap Year could be my vehicle for all my creative endeavors. So I started publishing all my stuff through Leap Year Music. And little by little, one of the things that I've learned over the years is action begets action. So I've seen that snowball where, you know, like I said, none of this happened overnight. It's been year after year after year. So just the continuous action has just opened up new doors and new possibilities for me. And I've just been doing my own thing. And my mantra I tell my friends is permission granted. And that's kind of how we should all think. Permission granted. Don't wait for people to allow you from behind a desk up on the, you know, 50th floor to tell you that you can or cannot be creative. Do what you got to do. Be good. Strive for excellence. And, you know, in the book, I talk about rule number one, don't suck. And that's in any profession, whether you're a musician or whatever. But don't suck. Have a high standard of excellence, but then go for it. And don't let anyone get in your way of you being creative and doing what you see as your passion.
Hey, music teacher, are you trying to grow your program? Look no further. The Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention is now here and available from giamusic.com. In this amazing resource, you will see a collaboration of music educators from all across the country who have grown their programs tremendously in all different situations. Complete the growth implementation plan and hand it to your administrator, showing them that growth is on its way. Fill in the bringing them home text boxes to apply all of the content from the book to your unique situation and blow your program out of the water. We have a giveaway happening right now. If you are interested in getting your free autographed copy of the Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention, simply subscribe to my website at angelaammerman.com and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks and happy program building.
You've had so many huge successes with your pieces. I mean, just seeing the kids, how they just like poured themselves into your works at Allstate was so cool. And then you just had, like, with The Rising Sun performed by Rachel Barton Pine, right? That was like...
Yes, that was a huge honor. I got to talk to her and, you know, she called me and she just played it for me and just asked me. And I'm thinking, she's asking for my opinion. What am I going to say? But she was very, very nice. Of course, very talented. And she ended up playing that for one of her recitals at, I think it was the Strathmore House. She played it back in April. And it was just a huge honor to have her do that. And it was very kind. And it's something that I would never forget.
I saw your post about that. And I was like, oh, this is the coolest. I mean, just, yeah. And it's, I feel like what has happened to you for so many things in your life, from my perspective, it's like, you meet this challenge and you're like, oh, no. The permission granted, right? You're like, I don't think so. And then you go and do something nobody expects. Writing a piece called Farewell to the Violin. Like it's hilarious and beautiful and striking. And here it is, like you are up against a challenge and you're just like, no, I'm crushing this. I'm done. And you go and start your own publishing company. So with Leap Year Publishing now, how many works have you been able to publish and get out to the public so far?
Well, I think I've, like I said, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's like maybe 27, 28. I have in my catalog, I think I have 30 something. Not all of them are released. And I'm, you know, of course, I'm still coming up with new ones. Like I just finished two pieces. I finished one for solo violin. I released that one in the middle of May. So a couple of weeks ago. And that one just came, I was just fooling around and I came up with a little idea on the violin. And then the last piece that I finished was back in, what was it, end of March, beginning of April. It was a huge work. It was a commission that I finished for the Empire State Youth Orchestra. They have this CHIME program, this community program, which was, it's massive. Well, the idea of it is massive. So I had to write something for second grade all the way through 12th grade for full orchestra, including recorder. Oh my gosh. That was awesome. I mean, it was great. And the process was very involved. So I was able to meet all the kids, sit and talk with them about their thoughts about the music, talk about what instrumentation they thought the piece should have, talk about dynamics and colors. And it was great. And I met with all the students, second grade, all the way up through 12th grade. And then I finished, you know, it took a long time, but I finished the piece at the end of March, beginning of April, around there. And then I was able to go and hear the premiere in the middle of May, which was fantastic. And the kids were fantastic. So that was a huge project, because full orchestra on top of writing something that's accessible to such a young group, that was challenging to say the least. But yeah, so with Leap Year, I've been able to basically use that as my vehicle to get all my stuff out. And, you know, like I said, I'm always coming up with new stuff, but I'm kind of beyond the point of waiting for permission. And I still get no's, don't get me wrong. People still say no. But I'm not going to let that hold me down or hold me back. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do and what I feel is important and I'm passionate about. And I think everybody should do that.
There is such a great lesson in there for anybody, for any age, an adult, just that, you know, if you have something that you believe mm-hmm. is great and is worthy and is important, then don't let somebody else tell you it's not. Nobody else can define your worth, and nobody else can define what your work is worth. If you know it's worth something, find somebody else who agrees with you, right? And I really love that about what you've done. And I feel like our teachers, our young teachers, really need that message right now. So
that's yeah. I always think of when I go to the grocery store, they always have an aisle for every kind of food, no matter what you like to eat. So that always reminds me that regardless of whether 1,000 people like the piece that I'm going to write or one, that is for somebody. And I need to follow through it and see it through and make sure that I put it out there. It's kind of like a responsibility to me, you know, to share it. Yeah, so somebody is going to enjoy it. It's going to touch somebody, some student who's going to really get a lot out of it. And it's always nice. Like I got to play one of my pieces at the last All-State group with you in Georgia. And it was so nice to see the kids talk about how they were touched by the music. And it's really special to hear. And that's why you do it. You want to see that look and that light bulb go off in those students. And that's why we do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I remember being in the audience for that, and I was just so moved. It was really special for me. So I'm, of course it was so special for you, but I was like, he's my friend and I'm so proud. And look at the way he's done. Look at the way these kids are like so into this music. And just to think that from nothing, you know, this is all in your head that you've come up with all of this, and composing and creating is just so cool to see how it does impact others. So
yeah, and you're on that road too, right? Of composing.
Okay, I am working on it, and after this call, I'm going to need some help. So yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I have the ideas, and I actually really like the work. I don't know how to notate it all, so I feel like. Yeah. A freshman in college when I'm writing this stuff out, because I just don't know how to do it because I'm doing some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, I will let you know a little bit more, but basically it's an annoying piece for the students that are always annoying us. And I will definitely be asking Adrian for help.
Absolutely.
I can get that off the ground. But eventually I love to write beautiful pieces as well.
Oh, you will. I'm sure you will, because you're exposed to it so much. One of the things that I do, though, I kind of developed a composition mind map, and it kind of goes through all the questions that I ask myself as I'm composing. So I'll go through things like, what instrument families am I hearing in my head? Any words that come to mind, possible titles, any like motifs that I'm hearing, time signatures. So I'm kind of dictating all this stuff before I even start writing. And it's kind of like a brainstorm for me. And then when I go to the paper or the computer, whatever, I have a little bit clearer understanding of where I'm going And it's not definitive. It doesn't have to be set in stone, but that just gives me something to go off of. And the other thing that I've been doing, which is really cool, I didn't invent this, but I started doing it myself and I'm enjoying the process. For this work that I did for Full Orchestra, for the Empire State Youth Orchestra, I decided to try something new. So instead of using my notation software, I just opened up GarageBand and I would just play and I would just improvise and go back into it and kind of filter through what the cool ideas I thought I was creating and then notate them and transcribe them. So that was a different process because normally I'll just sit at my computer. I will have my violin, but I'm hearing the things in my head. This time I decided to kind of reverse it and just start playing and seeing what comes out and then transcribe it. And I was really pleased with that process. It was a lot of fun.
Do you have a title for this piece? Like, can we be on the lookout for it eventually? Because that sounds so cool and different.
Yeah, the title of the piece, it's called Hope Triumphant. And I probably will be releasing it in the fall because I've got to go through. I wrote it very specific to the needs of this particular youth orchestra. So I've got to kind of reshape some things. But I'm very, very pleased with how the piece came out. A lot of the inspiration from what the kids were telling me that they wanted to hear and what they wanted to see in the music. And it sounds very cinematic. It sounds like something that you definitely would hear in the movies and it would like tug at your heartstrings. And the message that the students wanted to convey was stop the violence, show kindness. So from that, I was able to kind of create this strong and aggressive violent section that moves into hope, and then it moves into sadness, and then ultimately hope triumphs. So hence the title, Hope Triumphant. But I'm really excited about that piece, and I think people are really going to enjoy it when they get to see it and hear it.
Well, I can't wait. That is going to be great. I will be looking out for that for sure. And of course, Facebook stalking you to find out when it's going to be released as usual. Well, Adrian, in addition to doing all the things we've kind of talked about, you know, I've gotten to meet your children and your wife, and you're just such a great dad and husband and friend. And, you know, your love for and dedication for your family, it resonates with me greatly. And I know, you know, I've talked about this a lot, that it can be really challenging to be fully present for everyone and do all the things. So what advice do you have for young parents kind of trying to find their right balance for them?
That's a tough one because it's going to look different for everybody. But I do think the big thing that stands out to me, and I wrote it in the book, and note to self, was to give yourself grace. Give yourself grace because you can't fix and do everything in one day or 1 week. Everything's going to take time. So pace yourself and give yourself grace. And then I think the next thing would be write things down. I truly believe in that to-do list and also having my calendar handy and just kind of going off of that. But I think the biggest thing would be also to remember that if you're a young parent, your children are only that age one time. Everything else, it'll come and go and ups and downs and ebb and flow and all that. But your children are only going to be that age once. So it's really important to dive in and get the most out of that time with them. And, you know, it's not easy because you're torn in different directions. So I would also say, don't let anyone tell you that it's easy. It's not easy. And, you know, the ambition sometimes, because like I said, I love what I do and the ambition kind of takes over, but I've got to stop myself and remind myself, hey, you know, my kids are only going to be this age once. And I really want them to remember these times. And I'm very fortunate because I get to have my sons in my orchestra program. So that's been fantastic. My oldest son has been with me in the orchestra program for 2 years. I'm sorry, 3 years. And then my younger son, he's going to start with me next school year in the fall. So that's been really, really special to me. So I've kind of been blessed in that regard to be up close and personal with that. But yeah, I just think it's important to remember that the kids are only going to be this age once and just pace yourself. Do what you can. Be disciplined, be diligent. But remember, put your family first because they're only that age one time.
That's amazing. I think that's such great advice. Well, okay, when people inevitably want to reach out to you for a commission or, you know, a clinic or to guest conduct the next Allstate or whatever, what's the best way for them to reach you?
people can see everything that I'm doing and working on and get a hold of me through my website, which is just adriangordonmusic.com. Or they can find me on social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you know, all those mediums. But the best way is adriangordonmusic.com.
Perfect. We'll make sure we drop that in the show notes. And Adrian, thank you so much for joining us today. This was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's so great and so exciting to share this with other people because I've admired what you do for so long. So I'm super excited. And I also wanted to send a huge shout out to those of you that have been following us on Instagram and on Facebook and remind you all to subscribe and leave us a review. You know, those reviews make such a difference for us. Every review actually helps others find the show faster. So if you just take like 30 seconds and drop a 5-star down, that would be amazing. We hope that this week you will be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all your students, uncover the greatness within a few more young humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking! Bye!